So pradhan in general means source, that from which other things come. And when sam is put in front of it, sampradaya, then it means a regulated or shastrically approved method of bringing out something. Actually, this word sampradaya or sampradan can have different applications. Even when a father is giving the hand of his daughter in proper marriage ceremony to a worthy bridegroom, that is called sampradan, because the daughter is being given according to rules and regulations. She's being brought out and given. But when we say sampradaya, it means the specifically the giving of transcendental knowledge, which originates with Krishna. So this is the orderly process by which transcendental knowledge descends. So sampradaya is translated into English by Srila Prabhupada as disciplic succession. So in this Kali Yuga, there are four bona fide sampradayas. We shall read from a purport, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text 21. There are four lines of disciplic succession. This is from the purport. One from Lord Brahma, one from Lord Shiva, one from Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and one from the Kumaras. The disciplic succession from Lord Brahma is called the Brahma Sampradaya. The succession from Lord Shiva, Shambhu, is called the Rudra Sampradaya. The one from the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, is called the Shri Sampradaya, and the one from the Kumaras is called the Kumar Sampradaya. One must take shelter of one of these four Sampradayas in order to understand the most confidential religious system. In the Padma Purana, it is said, Sampradaya Vihina Ye Mantraste Nishphala Mata. If one does not follow the four recognized disciplic successions, his mantra or initiation is useless. In the present day, there are many upa sampradayas, or sampradayas which are not bona fide, which have no link to authorities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Kumaras, or Lakshmi. People are misguided by such sampradayas. The Shastras say that being initiated into such a sampradaya is a useless waste of time, for it will never enable one to understand the real religious principles. So, upa sampradaya. Upa means deviated. There's sampradaya, and then there is that which is deviated from the sampradaya. The word upa sampradaya gives the idea that originally that deviated line may have been connected to the main trunk of the bona fide sampradaya, but now it is gone in the wrong direction. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 24, texts 12 and 13, this is third canto, chapter 24, text 12, actually, purport. Srila Prabhupada gives the essential symptom of what it means to belong to sampradaya. A conditioned soul in the material world has the disqualification of cheating. He has four disqualifications. He is sure to commit mistakes, he is sure to be illusioned, he is prone to cheat others, and his senses are imperfect. But if one carries out the order of the spiritual master by disciplic succession or the parampara system, he overcomes the four defects. Therefore, knowledge received from the bona fide spiritual master is not cheating. Any other knowledge which is manufactured by the conditioned soul is cheating only. So this is the essential definition. One who actually belongs to a sampradaya is free of these four defects of the conditioned soul. And bringing it closer, With each purport, we're focusing in more and more clearly of what it actually means to be a member of the bona fide disciplic succession. So in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 15 of Madhya Lila, text 111, purport. In his Upadeshamrita, Sri Rupa Goswami states, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshashti chit. An advanced devotee should respect a person who has been initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and who is situated on the transcendental platform, chanting the holy name with faith and obeisances and following the instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that serving Vaishnavas is most important for householders. Whether a Vaishnava is properly initiated or not is not a subject for consideration. One may be initiated and yet contaminated by the Mayavada philosophy. But a person who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly will not be so contaminated. A properly initiated Vaishnava may be imperfect, but one who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly is all perfect. Although he may apparently be a neophyte, he still has to be considered a pure, unalloyed Vaishnava. So, last year, I helped Bhaktivedipurna Swami and Atmatattva Prabhu write a paper on the subject matter of initiation and reinitiation. So, from Srila Prabhupada's books, we found some very interesting explanation of what initiation, the essence of it is. And the essence of it is the Bhagavat Marg, the Bhagavat Vidhi. Vidhi means method. So Bhagavat Vidhi means simply that one receives the holy name of the Lord or hears the holy name of the Lord from a pure devotee. This Bhagavat Vidhi does not require any kind of formal initiation, ceremony, anything like that. It's simply that one receives the holy name of the Lord purely, but then the provision that must be there is that one must then chant the holy name of the Lord purely, without offense. If one does that, then he's considered initiated on the Bhagavat Marg. Even though he may not have received a name, or had a formal fire sacrifice. So here Srila Prabhupada, in this purport we just read, he says that's the actual essence of determining who is a Vaishnava. Whereas one may be initiated, there's the second means of initiation, Panchatriki Vidhi. That means that one takes a name from the spiritual master, one is initiated in the fire ceremony, one takes vows. There are five aspects of this Panchatriki initiation. So one may be initiated by that method, but if the essence, the Bhagavad Dharma, is somehow not manifesting in that initiation, then that initiation doesn't count for very much. It's just an official name-giving ceremony like baptism or something like that, rather worldly affair. So the essence of initiation is the Bhagavad Mark. But the Panchatriki initiation is nonetheless very important, especially in this Kali Yuga, because people are so unqualified. So the Panchatriki initiation is there to bind the disciple in a formal way, by way of what is called sangskara. Sangskara means impression. There is a ceremony, there is a formal vow, all of that, to create an impression in the disciple's mind that this is very serious, that he's received the holy name. And now, under the direction of the spiritual master, he should strive to chant it offenselessly. And he has to follow rules and regulations are given, and so on, which he has to keep in order to maintain his relationship with the spiritual master intact. So in one purport, we cited this in our paper, Srila Prabhupada says that Srila Rupa Goswami, therefore, because It is so rare to find someone who can chant the holy name offenselessly. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami does recommend that we become initiated formally into the chanting of the holy name to rid ourselves of offenses. But the essential meaning of belonging to Sampradaya is this Bhagavat Marg. Now, on to the subject matter of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya.
Can I ask one question? You made an emphasis on the Bhagavatam reference about being free from defects, and you said something about three or four defects. I missed it.
Those are the four defects, cheating propensity.
So the point was?
The Prabhupada says that when one is properly initiated into the parampara system, carrying out the order of the spiritual master, properly situated in that way, then he will be free of the four defects. So that's the symptom, that's the actual meaning of being in the sampradaya.
Maybe I misunderstood, but I thought you said at the end something about three or four defects.
So Madhya Lila, chapter 4, text 197. This purport describes the relationship of Lord Chaitanya to the Madhva or Tattvavadi Sampradaya. Out of the four Sampradayas, the Sri Madhvacharya Sampradaya was accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Thus he took sannyas according to parampara, the disciplic succession. Beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the acharya named Lakshmipati, there was no realization of devotional service and conjugal love. Sri Madhavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured South India and met the Tattvavadis who supposedly belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And just skipping down to the bottom of the purport. This is explaining, yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. This is that verse he recited at the end of his life. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feelings experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri. All the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. So I'll explain that shortly. In Madhya 9:11, a little more on this theme. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati points out that Tattvavadi refers to the followers of Srila Madhvacharya. To distinguish his disciplic succession from the Mayavadi followers of Shankaracharya, Srila Madhvacharya named his party the Tattvavad. Impersonalist monists are always attacked by these Tattvavadis who attempt to defeat their philosophy of impersonalism. Generally, they establish the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya is known as the Brahma Vaishnava sect. That is, the sect coming down from Lord Brahma. Consequently, the Tattvavadis, a follower of Madhvacharya, do not accept the incident of Lord Brahma's illusion, which is recorded in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Madhvacharya has purposely avoided commenting on that portion of Srimad Bhagavatam in which Brahma Mohana, the illusion of Lord Brahma, is mentioned. Srila Madhvacharya was one of the acharyas in the Tattvavadi disciplic succession, and he established the ultimate goal of transcendentalism to be attained of pure devotional service, love of Godhead. The ultimate goal of transcendentalism to be attainment of pure devotional service, love of Godhead. Those Vaishnavas belonging to the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the disciplic succession following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are distinct from the Tattvavadis, although they belong to the same Tattvavad Sampradaya. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are therefore known as the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Madhya Lila chapter 9, text 11. Now, just want to twist it. Okay. So, I just want to explain that in a little detail. The Tattvavadi line, according to their own, the Sampradaya of the Pacific Succession that they show, begins with Lord Vishnu, Hamsa Paramatma. The Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya begins with Krishna. Krishna instructing Lord Brahma, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, and also in the Brahma Samhita. But Lord Vishnu, who is also Krishna, so there's no difference, but according to the Tattvavadis, he instructed Lord Brahma in this Dvaitavada philosophy. And Brahma passed it on to Sanakadi, which just means the four Kumaras. And it went down this line of spiritual masters and came to Pramachuta Pragya Tirtha to Madhvacharya. So this is the Dvaitavad line, going like this. Now, Sri Madhvacharya, as you know, he went to Bhadrikashram and he met Vyas. Yeah, actually on two occasions. And under Vyasa's direction, he wrote commentary to Srimad Bhagavad Gita and to Vedanta Sutra. And also from Vyas, he, as we mentioned, he took up the tradition of the Srimad Bhagavatam, although he avoided this Brahma Vimohana Lila because it contradicted, apparently here, his concern with being connected with this line, this Tattvavad line. So, Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyas, Madhva. This is the actual Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, how it begins. When Vyas went, or when Madhva went and met Vyasadeva and received from him specific instructions, we could call them Bhakti Vedanta instructions, the essence of devotion as found in the Vedas. Then, also, it's just on the side here, there is this Dasakuta line. Because this, there's a lot happening in this Sampradaya, which you can try to appreciate. This Dasakuta, or Hari Dasakuta, group of Hari Dasas, servants of Lord Hari. This is some other tradition found in Western India, around the area of Pandharpur. There's a temple to Vital Dev. And what is interesting about this group is it is a kind of kirtan tradition. Srila Prabhupada mentions, because the most famous in that line down here is Tukaram. Srila Prabhupada mentions that the sankirtan of Tukaram exactly resembles that of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a very, very old tradition of glorifying the Lord with kartals, mridanga. And this also came with Madhvacharya. You have these two, Dvaitavad and this Bhakti Vedanta or Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya from Vyas coming together. And you have also this, Harinam Kirtan tradition. So all of this came together with Madhvacharya. And I've made a note here, this star asterisk. It indicates Narahari Tirtha and Vyasa Tirtha. They are very well known among this Dasakuta group as well.
They wrote many bhajan songs and were very fond of glorifying the Lord through the medium of singing. Now, there are some problems we can talk about. Sometimes some objections are made to Lord Chaitanya, the connection of Lord Chaitanya's movement with Madhvacharya. I just want to briefly go over these. One is that in the list of disciplic succession that you find in our books, you find these two names, Gyanasindhu, Dayanidhi. They come after Jayatirtha and before Vidyadhiraj, or as he's listed in our books, Vidyanidhi. Now, apparently, because I don't have any information on these two personalities, but apparently the Gaudiya Sampradaya, they are considered very outstanding devotees, although they're ignored by the Dvaitavad Tattvavadi line. They don't appear in their list. But that doesn't mean that the disciplic succession is somehow different at this point, because this Vidyadhiraj, he is a direct disciple of Jayatirtha anyway. So no matter how you look at it, the disciplic succession is intact. But this is sometimes one objection some puffed up scholars may make. Why? Who are these two? But anyway, it doesn't really matter. The connection is in any case direct here. So Vidyadhiraj, he's known in our line as Vidyanidhi. His disciple was Rajendra. And his disciple was Jayadvaja, or we call him Jayadharma. Now this is interesting to note. Rajendra and Jayadharma, they went north from South India. And the disciple of Jayadharma was this Vishnu Puri, who was a quite well-known Vaishnava. He wrote a book called Bhakti Ratnavali. Now I'm mentioning this because this introduces us to another objection. There's an objection that how could Madhavendra Puri be connected with the Madhva line? Because in this line, all the sannyasis are given the name Tirtha. In the Mayavadi Sampradaya, there are 10 Dashanami, 10 names, like Saraswati, Bharati, Puri, Tirtha is also there. But in Madhva's line, only Tirtha is given. So they sometimes object, how is it that Madhavendra Puri, he had this Puri name, how could he be a member of the Madhva line? But we see here that when the Rajendra and Jayadharma, when they went north, it is accepted, commonly accepted by everyone, that Jayadharma had one disciple named Vishnu Puri. So there was a tradition in North India. Some Vaishnava sannyasis were there with the Puri name who became connected to this Sampradaya in North India. So, understanding that, we can also understand the same thing occurred here with Madhavendra Puri. Lakshmipati Tirtha, he went north and he initiated Madhavendra Puri. Another thing, these are different, again, Tattvavadi branches going out. And Vyasa Tirtha, this is in the line given, you find in Udupi, in the mutt there, giving their list of disciplic succession. So Vyasa Tirtha is the last spiritual master in the Tattvavadi line who appears in this Rama Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Then it, their list goes Srinivas, Ram, and so on. And our list continues with Lakshmipati, Madhavendra, Ishwarapuri, Nityananda Dvaita, and Lord Chaitanya. Now another problem that is raised, if Lord Chaitanya was actually coming in this line, then why is it that when he went to Udupi, did he have a big confrontation with Rayu Varya. He was the leader of the Sri Krishna Bhakta Nudhi at the time. So the objection is made that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was criticizing the doctrine followed by the Tattvavadi, their adherence to Varnashram Dharma as being the way to attain Vaikuntha. Lord Chaitanya rejected that. So the actual, if we study the Sampradaya, we see what the reason is. That here, from Madhva on down to Vyasa Tirtha, although the Dvaitavad or Tattvavad was there, also being handed down, from here was being handed down teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and even from here there was Kirtan coming into this line. Now it is well known historically that Vyasa Tirtha, he was the last Acharya, Madhva, in the Madhva line, who was a Dasakuta, and he was something of a controversial figure. There was stories describing how his Brahmin disciples, they were a bit rebellious against him because he liked to give instruction, give shelter to members of the lower castes. There's a famous, this Kanaka Das, who was said to be his disciple. He was, later on, he was not allowed to enter the Sri Krishna Mutt. That's the headquarters of the Tattvavadi Sampradaya. The Brahmin Tattvavadis, they didn't want him to come in. So he used to stand outside the temple and have kirtan. One day there was an earthquake and the wall of the temple split open. And so the deity of Lord Krishna revealed himself to Kanaka Das. So after Vyasa Tirtha, these kind of things were going on in the Madhva Sampradaya. And these are just the points that Lord Chaitanya criticized. He said, you're following karma. He said, I see in your Sampradaya evidences of karma and jnana. But the actual essence is the ninefold process of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting. This you seem to be ignoring. But he did say that the one good quality of your group is that you accept the form of Lord Krishna as the Supreme Absolute Truth. As we mentioned before, Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, the other good quality of the Tattvavadi line is they're very enthusiastic to preach and especially defeat the Mayavadi philosophy.
But their preaching is not to recruit members. Their preaching is, right? Because that's the criticism of the Vyasa Tirtha, his preaching to...
Yeah, well, their preaching is among Brahmins. They just keep their thing limited to Brahmins. They're also, therefore, they're known as the Madhva Brahmins.
Being born in Brahmin family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got a year on that. Sorry, I started to get it. On Vyasa Tirtha.
Huh?
On Vyasa Tirtha, a year on when that branching out occurred again.
A year?
Yeah.
No, I could if I looked in the right book in the library, but I don't have it with me now. These are things that are well established. The years are there, and
yeah,
one can find them out.
Is that like regarded as a major split thing, or split back from our line that it occurred then? Like they came together in Madhva and then they split out again.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, exactly. We see, after that time, when Lord Chaitanya went and visited Udupi, he was not very pleased with them because he considered them to be very proud. Although he took initiation to that line, but coming this side, Lakshmi Patta Madhavendra Puri and so on, especially, of course, because of Madhavendra Puri, who gave this seed of love of Radha and Krishna. And it is also said that Lord Chaitanya, during his tour, he initiated Tukaram. That's mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's books too. So, anyway, this just gives you some idea of what's going on in our sampradaya, this chart.
Now, coming back to the point of upper sampradaya, you mentioned that Lord Chaitanya was displeased with the Madhvas because he saw evidences of karma and jnana. So although we don't consider the Tattvavadi line upper sampradaya, still as Prabhupada says, the Gaudiya Vaishnava line is distinct. Srila Prabhupada writes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out to the Tattvavadi Acharya who belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya that their general behavior did not favor pure devotional service, which must be devoid of the taints of fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. As far as fruitive activity is concerned, the contamination, this is important, is elevation to a higher standard of life. That is the contamination of the karma. And for speculative knowledge, the contamination is merging into the existence of the Absolute Truth. The Tattvavada Sampradaya of the Madhvacharya school sticks to the principle of Varnashram Dharma, which involves fruitive activity. Their ultimate goal, mukti, is simply a form of desire. A pure devotee should be free of all kinds of desire. He simply engages in the service of the Lord. Nonetheless, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased that the Madhvacharya Sampradaya or the Tattvavada Sampradaya accepted the transcendental form of the Lord. That is the great qualification of these Vaishnava Sampradayas. It is the Mayavad Sampradaya that does not accept the transcendental form of the Lord. If a Vaishnava Sampradaya is also carried away by that impersonal attitude, that Sampradaya has no position at all. It is a fact that there are many so-called Vaishnavas whose ultimate aim is to merge into the existence of the Lord. The Sahajya's Vaishnava philosophy is to become one with the Supreme. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out that Sri Madhavendra Puri accepted Madhvacharya only because his Sampradaya accepted the transcendental form of the Lord. So although there is a distinction between the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya and the Dvaitavada line, still Srila Prabhupada firmly says here, the Dvaitavada line is a Vaishnava Sampradaya. And he clearly distinguishes that from the Appa Sampradayas. But there is a lesson to be learned in this observation that there are some subtle influences of karma and jnana. Because when these subtle influences increase and increase and increase, that's what transforms a bona fide line into an upper sampradaya.
The Tattvavadis have as their ultimate goal one of the four types of liberation?
Yeah, they mention these four. The four Vaishnava kinds of liberation. Those are said to be the goal of bhakti. They're also aiming at Vaikuntha, Mahamantra. Now 12:35. Difficult to fit all this in this time. So then we can, just to set the scene for tomorrow, I'm just today reading different purports from Prabhupada's books to kind of just establish everything. Tomorrow I'm going to go a lot more fluidly when we get into the actual what is Appa Sampradaya, what are they, what are the different kinds.
Sorry, what was the last reference you read?
What was the last reference I read? Fortunately, I have it written down here. The Madhya Lila 9.277 purport. Now in Adi Lila 12.73, Srila Prabhupada makes a rather startling observation. This is in reference, I'll summarize this part of it, that Lord Chaitanya's, the tree of Lord Chaitanya's movement, the tree of branches which form the Sampradaya. And there were three sons of Advaita Acharya, that became, he had six sons, and three of them became a useless branch. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining about this point of the useless, deviated lines. And Srila Prabhupada concludes, although posing as great scholars, ascetics, householders, and swamis, the so-called followers of the Hindu religion are all useless, dried-up branches of the Vedic religion. They are impotent. They cannot do anything to spread the Vedic culture for the benefit of human society. The essence of Vedic culture is the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya instructed, Yara deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh amara ogyaya guru honna tare e desh. One should simply instruct everyone he meets regarding the principles of Krishna katha as expressed in Bhagavad Gita as it is in Srimad Bhagavatam. One who has no interest in Krishna katha or the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like dry, useless wood with no living force. The ISKCON branch, being directly watered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is becoming undoubtedly successful, whereas the disconnected branches of the so-called Hindu religion that are envious of ISKCON are drying up and dying. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada more or less places the whole Hindu religion in the category of apasampradaya. So on that note, we can close for today. It's 12:38. Any questions in the last minute?
About sampradaya, in the beginning you mentioned that the qualification to connect oneself to the sampradaya is pure chanting.
Yes.
So how does one recognize that?
How does one recognize pure chanting? Well, actually, that probably best answered in the negative way, that if the chanting is pure, then these symptoms, which we will talk about tomorrow, that result in membership in one of these 13 apasampradayas, won't be there.
Yes, do you know some reference of Sukaram having impersonal influence also, aside from the connection? Because isn't both connections made that he's connected to Lord Chaitanya, his kirtan is like, or similar to Lord Chaitanya, but on the other side?
Well, I Atma Tattva Prabhu is probably better to ask on that, but I do know that before Tukaram there is one Gyandev in this Dasakuta line. See, Dasakuta line, don't get me wrong, it's not really a sampradaya, it's more of a tradition. But it's a tradition that did coalesce with the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya line for a while. So anyway, there was one Gyandev, according to his writings, so much as from what I know, there is some impersonal influence. But Tukaram has very clearly in his songs, he's derided jnana, the whole process of jnana, the whole process of the impersonal speculation. His songs express very, very clear personal attitude of service to the deity.
What are the
adhyas? The adhyas are just like in the Sri Vaishnava line, there are the alwars. So in this Dasakuta line, there are adhyas, great devotees of the very ancient past. There, Atma Tattva can tell you all the stories. I just want to mention this in brief. Yes.
But was the reason why Dvaitavada
was removed? Because this Dvaitavada line is coming over Brahma, and they're, you know, great philosophers, so they think. Well, they are actually. They defeated the Mayavadis. So they don't like the idea that Lord Brahma, who is their preceptor, was an illusion. They want him to be perfectly realized soul.
Which illusion was actually meant by Brahma was...
Oh, which illusion?
Yes.
It's when he stole the cowherd voice and then Lord Krishna bewildered him.
Maharaj, by not accepting that, is it not that the one who are denying the supremacy or inconceivable power of Krishna?
No, it's not that. It's just as we read, that Madhvacharya didn't comment on that. It's something that the Tathagatas just don't want to talk about.
It's a kind of chastity kind. They don't want to criticize their precept.
Yeah. But on the other side, it does show a kind of limited vision of the, as you've said, the unlimited potency of the Supreme Lord, and also the nature of his relationship, the nature of relationship between the devotees and the Lord. If you consider the attitude of a philosopher who wants to present himself as being all wise, he doesn't want to be bewildered by anything. So for that reason, you can say they're a little touchy on that point. Whereas those who are, you know, like in Mahaprabhu's line, Mahaprabhu himself, he says, Gopi Bratur Parakamalam Dasa 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 Anudasa. I'm just the most far removed servant of the servant of the servant of all the servants of the lotus feet of the gopis. Amani Manadena, thinking oneself very, very insignificant. That's one of the outstanding features of Lord Chaitanya's disciplic succession.
Is that line that the Madhvas give before Madhva, is that clearly Dvaitava? Or is there some impression
with it also? No, it's Dvaita. Srila Prabhupada confirms that also. We just read the purport. Tattvavadi line.
Isn't it that Madhva's guru,
he was... you're asking about that?
Yeah.
Well, what happened was is that when Dvaitavad was being taught as a disciplic succession, but when Shankaracharya became prominent in India, and the Mayavadi was all-pervading, and the Dvaitavadis were not strong enough at that time to resist it. So everyone had to appear as a Mayavadi. Because the caste system, of the Brahmanas was very, very strict at that time. And so if you wanted to be recognized as a Brahmin, then you had to follow that line, Mayavad line, because Shankaracharya had re-established the Brahmins in power in India, kicked out the Buddhists. So all the Brahmins, you know, they were just following his line without any question. So, in order to maintain their social position, the Tattvavadis had to also, practically speaking, they had to mouth the Mayavad philosophy. And it is said that Achyuta Pragyatirtha, he knew that the Tattvavadi philosophy, he knew something about it, and he knew it was better than the Mayavadi philosophy. But it had become so hidden that he himself was not expert in it. He just... He